Good morning, good day, good afternoon. Hallelujah. Happy new week. My name is Joy Dabo, and I am excited and happy to be here with you on this first day of the week. I want to wish you well. I want to wish you all every blessings that is in the book from Genesis to Revelation. Today, I have a very special message for you to get us started through the week. We're going to be talking about the faith to rise. Yes, the faith to rise. So sit tight. Let's get to it. Well, good morning, good day, happy new year, happy new week to all of our guests that are coming in the house today. This is the day that the Lord has made. And if we have not met, meaning this is your first time here on the podcast, I wanna say welcome and thank you for being here because of your presence. We continue to do what we're doing together. So today I am going to be talking about the faith to rise. The faith to rise. I started out last week talking to you about this month. We're going to be talking about faith in general. In this journey that we are on, we're going to be talking about igniting and activating our faith. We're going to be then talking about prayer, strengthening our prayer. And then we're going to be talking about intimacy with God, drawing closer to God. These are the three topics that we're going to be on together for a good while. And they're going to be here. We're going to work it out, walk it, talk it together. And I want to share just quickly our expectation and what I really hope for you as we are on this journey together is that when you come and you listen, I don't want you to see this or listen to it as another podcast, but I want you to be intentional. If you're going to be listening to this, or when you're going to be listening to it, I want you to pick a specific time of the day that you want to listen to this, because this is not just another podcast, another teaching, but this is a moment that you are on a journey to activate your faith. So being intentional is going to be very important. And I want to remind you the three promises that I shared with you last time, that in this journey, I will bring the stories, I'll bring my expertise, and I'll also bring my passion with me as we are on this journey. So we're going to get started today as we begin this new month about faith. The faith to rise. I don't know. I want to ask you first this question. Do you remember your first love? Your first love. Maybe the love, not just the love of boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, or I'm talking about the first love, about when you came to experience something new. This may be when you get your first car, maybe your first job, when you have, I don't know about you, but I remember when I got my first job and I put in my all. I wanted to impress my supervisor. I wanted to show that what I put on my resume was not just a paper, but really I can achieve them and I can go beyond. The first time. Maybe for you it could be, you know, the first time you bought a new dress, the dress that you have been waiting and wanting to have for a while. You know, maybe it's a party. You're about to go to somebody's birthday party. You're about to go to this gala and you put on that new dress, new outfit. There's some way, somehow, how it made you feel, how it connected you and your thought to when you go to this event, how you're going to bring the best of you. There's something about when we have an experience of something new, especially when it's something new that we really love or we really like. There's emotions, there's excitement, some kind of ways that awaken us to be to the maximum of who we want. We want to give out our best. I remember my first, even when my husband and I got married. Oh, let me tell you, for those that are married, you know, the first time, the first week, right? We set up the table, yes, wives and mothers, you know this, right? You wake up early before your spouse get up, you set up the table, you set up the breakfast, it's all good, and the tea is the right temperature, you set up the forks, the knife, all the goodies at the table, because it's your first time, it's the first impression. You sit there and you smile at each other what did you dream about? What your day is going to look like? We all are excited, right? We're all excited. And then as time goes by, there comes to a place where we normalize. It comes to a place where it becomes a routine. And then from the routine is, okay, we get up, maybe you snooze the button, and when you snooze a couple times and you realize, oh my gosh, I'm running late for work, and he's running late for work, and you realize, okay, you're going to have sandwich for lunch, and I'm going to have something from one of the restaurant down the street from my job, or my girlfriend are going to take me out and we're going out for lunch, and everybody just got out and they went about. And then when you come back later, you're like, oh my gosh, I have not planned for my lunch, and I mean for dinner, and I still got to cook dinner. And you realize it's already evening and you're worn out. You're tired. If you have not listen to the intro of the season 2, where I spoke about Rebecca's fresh love, fresh faith. When we have this fresh faith, she was ready to go and venture out into the world. She was ready to go out with this stranger who came to take her as a spouse for the master's son. And it takes faith to believe a stranger and to say, who comes to the house and say, I am taking you to be my master's son's wife. And by the way, I just made a prayer by the pool or by the well for God to give me a sign, and you happen to be the first one. So you are it. What are the odds? What are the odds? Let's reframe that question. Maybe not what are the odds, but what kind of faith was that? I remember this kind of faith, the fresh love, the one that have no fear, the one that doesn't doubt, the one that believes. Every morning, I woke up with my prayer and the intimacy with God. That moment was sacred for me. It didn't matter how long I have been married with my husband. There was something about my morning time with God that I was now willing to compromise it. I will wake up and I'll have my fresh tea and fresh morning with God. And I will read scripture and the Lord will speak to me through the scripture. I remember as though it was yesterday, going to the mountains with a group of Christians, we would go to pray. And prayer became such a powerful tool that it made me feel invincible. I felt power of God at work within me that I could stand on any mountains, or I can command rivers and mountains to move. And I had the faith to believe that it was going to move due to my connection and my relationship that I had with the Lord. Until one morning, I woke up to an illness, a condition that no one ever told me that existed, that every woman who goes through a transformation from singleness to wifehood into motherhood. Not everybody gets postpartum depression, but everybody, every woman experience some kind of postpartum effect. And no one have ever told me that. And I woke up one morning wondering what day was today. What is going on? Why am I feeling so tired and exhausted? Wait, what time is it? 3 hours I've missed my morning time with God. And before I knew it, it was a time where not just once a week, but it became second week, third week, a month. I'm skipping my time with God. I am missing this moment with God, and I'm not saying missing out like I just missed. No, I'm deep asleep, feeling tired, exhausted, weeping, crying at just everything. The world is on my shoulder. The world is against me. The world, how did I wake up this late? How come prayer becomes so difficult? How come reading the Bible becomes so exhausting? I will ask myself. It was right there. I remember realizing, wait, this is happening for too long. What is happening to me? Why am I becoming this weeping, crying, down, feeling alone, feeling lost? And remembering writing on a piece of paper this verse. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. I cried. That's Luke 22, 31 to 32. I cry. And I cry because in that moment I realized My faith, the fire, the excitement was slowly dimming. The light was slowly dimming. And I probably gave you a little bit of what are some of the signs that we can know of my faith light. We are to keep that light burning. It is the altar. It is the place where we meet God. But what are some signs, Joy? What are some signs that I need to know that this light, this faith is slowly dimming? Well, one of the things that we can begin to see as a sign that our faith is slowly dimming, remember Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, we cannot please God. So one of the things that you have to begin to look out as a sign of this faith beginning to dim is that become aware of the time that you meet with God. Am I reading my Bible daily? If I begin to give so much excuses, you know what, I'll read it tonight, or I'll read then, or oh my gosh, I wanted to read about Isaiah, and then now I want to read about Paul, I want to read about Moses, oh my gosh, no, I should have read about Peter. Those are the little signs that our fire is slowly being affected by something. Today I'm not talking about how does this fire get affected. I'm going to talk about how to rise, because most people find themselves in the place where this light has already dimmed or completely out. These signs, am I reading my Bible as regular as I used to? If the answer is yes, am I excited about reading my Bible as I used to? You know, some people will be like, oh yes, I do. But not really that you are, but are you really? I'm not talking about one of our community ladies, woman in the Indomitable community that we have in this class, and she shared and said, but I want to get the revelation. I want to get to the place where I'm reading the Bible and God is just giving me revelation. My dear friend, let me encourage you. Don't just seek revelation in the Bible. Seek intimacy with God when you read the Bible. Because when you begin to go deeper with God in intimacy, reading the Bible, revelations, or being able to just like, oh my gosh, I got this rhema. It's something that the enemy can use as well to create confusion. Because we are living in a world of people who want to be prophetic and have revelation. He knows the Bible too, right? The enemy knows the Bible too. So you want to know what are the signs for me? Okay, so next time I'll talk about some of the signs we need to know that our fire, our faith is going down. But I want to continue on this journey of the faith to rise. You need the faith to rise. So Jesus prayed for Simon and say, Satan is asking to sift you, meaning to pull you out. He's asking to take you away. He's actually, some other translation says he's demanding. It's almost saying that Satan had an agenda or something like, he's like, you know, like, I know what you did, so I hold it against you. I can hold it against you because you did that. I have the right to ask for you. And, but Jesus, listen to this. Jesus did not say, Peter, I am praying for your health. He didn't say, Peter, I am praying for your marriage. I am praying for your wife. I am praying. None of the things that are externally that Jesus, when Satan was asking for Peter, that Jesus prayed for those things. Maybe your situation is marriage. Jesus is not praying right now for your marriage. Maybe your situation is health. I'm very sick. I'm in the hospital right now, or I have this cancer, or I have this doctor's appointment, this financial problem. God is not praying for that. Well, he's praying for your faith. Your faith to maintain, your faith to rise, your faith to rise against this situation. That's what Jesus is praying for. And when I read this, it gave me strength. I wrote it on the piece of paper, and the place where it had Simon, I wrote my name. Joy, joy. Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for your faith. But I have prayed for you, joy, that your faith may not fail. So then I begin to focus to talking about the rise of faith. How to rise of faith is I begin now. I wasn't concerned about what postpartum depression was doing now to my circumstance, meaning to my marriage, to my relationship with my children, to the relationship with my community. I didn't care anymore about it. Because my focus now became, how do I stay in faith? How do I rise in this faith? And the conventional way of how to deal when our faith is hit is medicine, right? We go to medicine, we'll go, we'll start taking depressive medicine against depression. We start become bitter. We even not understand what's going on. Some people go into divorce, a separation, family is divided, there's suicide thought, and even deeper depression that you cannot control, bipolar, and all these things start happening. We take alcohol, we take drugs to numb the pain of what? Of our faith that is dimming or that is dying. So how then do I rise joy? What are the better way? What do you recommend? Well, I want to recommend and I want to share this with you that comes from a very strong message in Revelation. If you go to Revelation 2 with me in verse 1 to 3, God is talking to the church called Ephesus. And it's such a powerful testimony of a church that is going through a faith crisis, if I may call it that way. And the testimony of this church that God is talking to can help us to see how do we rise to faith? How do I acquire the faith to rise? Here we go. Remember your first love. That's it. Simple as that. What do you mean, joy? Remember your first love. Remember what it felt like, when you first obtained the car. Remember when you first bought that new house. Remember when you entered that home. How you felt, the experience you had in those moments, what came alive in you, to have the faith to rise up. You know, we talk about a lot about have faith. I'm like, listen, I don't have faith right now. My mind is bombarded with depression. How do I have faith? Nothing's wrong with you. You need the faith to rise. Not just a faith for every day. Begin with the faith to rise. I need to rise. Where do I rise from? For those you know that I used to be this fireball, fire for Christ. I used to go out. We're going to go through the list of what God is talking about, Revelation about Ephesus, how you used to be enjoying the presence of God. Those are the places you go. Remember your first love. That's the faith to rise. The Lord talk about Ephesus. He says this. You used to be what? You used to be a hard worker. Slowly, don't push yourself. Oh my gosh, I gotta work so hard to get back to that faith. No, it's a matter to rise. The faith to rise begins with you remembering. Remember how you used to work hard in your faith, meaning to do the work that is necessary to go to church, to wake up in the morning, those things that you were doing intentionally. As I was sharing, for me, I will wake up in the morning, read the Bible, I will have my time with God. Those are all hard work. I work hard at it. I work hard because I was excited. I was remembering, you know, the joy of waking up and having this intimacy time with God, the time of prayer, how when I left, I will leave the space feeling revived, feeling strengthened, feeling encouraged. And the Lord God says, you used to be a hard worker. And then he says, you persevered. There's perseverance. It didn't matter what obstacle was in front of you. You kept going. You kept going and you went and you forward. You persevered no matter what challenge was there. And then he says, you did not tolerate any wicked men. Some of the signs when we know that our faith is dimming, our faith is going down, is noticing some of the things that you become tolerant of. What are you compromising? You're becoming more and more tolerant of what? Of certain movies, you become more tolerant of certain music, you become so tolerant about certain environment. Little by little, he says, you did not tolerate wicked men. And then he says, you tested the apostle, meaning you had this discerning. You're like, that one is a liar. That one is telling the truth. I'll go that way, right? But and then you forget. And then he says, you endured hardship for my name's sake. For God's name. It didn't matter if you had to wake up early. It didn't matter if the church service stayed 30 minutes a little bit longer. It didn't matter if you had to watch it, like watch night, late in the night. It didn't matter. You will endure the tired body because you know it is time with God. And then he says, you didn't grow tired or growing weary in doing good. You will give generously. You will give. And now suddenly there was a financial situation. You'd be like, I don't know if I can give anymore. Now this type of people I don't trust anymore. He says, remember that first love. Remember that first love. Because when you remember this first love, your faith will begin to rekindle. The fire will begin to burn, and slowly, right? Remember what I said earlier. Jesus said, I am praying for your faith. Many times we spend more time trying to push hard to to like, I'm in faith. If my husband or my wife decided to leave, that's his problem. And yet inside of you, you're growing this callous and bitterness and resentment toward the person. But you begin to define faith from a place of intimacy with God to a place of, I'm going to church. Going to church is not faith. Going to church is one, if I can say, of the curriculum or one of the elements that help us with faith. Don't get me wrong. I didn't say stop going to church. We need to go to church. That's another sign that helps us to know that we are getting out of faith, is when we stop going to church. The Bible tells us, do not forsake the gathering of the brother. When you see that it becomes too hard for me to go to church, that's when I knew I had to go Google. I'm like, I'm a new mom, and this is the symptoms that I'm feeling and everything. And that's where I learned postpartum depression. And the Holy One was so generous and gentle to me that he led me to Luke 22. And that's when I say, okay, let me stop fighting for my marriage. Let me stop fighting for my children. Instead, let me rise in faith. I need the faith to rise, to overcome this situation. I need first to stand. Let me say this, share with this. Fighting for your family right now, when your faith is down, it's only gonna lead to brokenness. Fight for your faith, and God will give you victory in all the other areas. God, he says, he's faithful. And he who began the good work will see it to completion. Let's pray. My Lord and my God, in this moment, there's someone who's crying, my Father, because they remember their first love. They remember the days, my Lord, that they spent with you in prayer, reading scripture, going to church, serving in the community. Before even they received that anointing, whether it was prophetic anointing, whether it's to become a pastor's wife, whether it was to become a CEO, whether it was to become a healthcare provider, whether it was to become an administrator, whether it was to become, my Lord, a leader in the community, my Lord. My God, they had this relationship with you. But something happened along the way. Something that took away that love. Something, my Lord, their breath was held. And now they don't even remember. When was the last time they breathed? Somebody's overwhelmed, tired, and exhausted, my God. My Father, you that prayed for Peter's faith to not fall or even to rise from the place of disappointment, from the place of denying you. My Lord and my God, I ask in the name of Jesus, my Father, that this person who's listening, my God, that you grant them the strength to rise. Grant them the strength, my Father, that faith that they need to rise above this situation, my Lord. My God, you said there's nothing we can do without faith. Without faith, we can't even please you. So this person is asking you for healing. This person is asking you for to restore marriage. But deep inside, they're broken, my Lord. So I ask you, my Father, I pray for their faith. May you rise. May you give them the faith to rise. Give them the faith to rise, to remember, my God, the first love. Forgive us, my Father. Forgive us, my Lord. Forgive us for forgetting this love. Forgive us. Forgive each one of us, my Lord, for forgetting how that used to be so important, that you were at the forefront of our life, my God. Forgive us, my Lord, when we chose everything else in this world and put you last, my Lord. My God, this person that's listening, Father, let their faith begin to rise. Help them with their faith to begin to rise. Oh, my Lord, you did it for me. You can do it for them. Give them the strength to rise, my Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, yes, my Lord. Hallelujah. You're so good. You're so wonderful. You are good. You are excellent, my Lord. You are the healer. You are the provider. You are the protector, my Lord. You are the holy comforter. My Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray and I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, my friend, this is the end of our episode. May you take the time to seek God, that you may rise from the faith. Rise. May God grant you the faith necessary to rise. In Jesus' mighty name, I look forward to seeing you and to having you again. Please remember to share and to provide this to those who you know need this. Salvation is powerful. It's not just a personal experience, but its power can transform your entire household. Hi, I'm Joy Dabo, founder of God Imprint. As a mom and as a wife, I discovered that God's salvation wasn't just for me. It was for my entire household. At God Imprint, we're here to help you establish a strong Christ-centered home, grounded in intimacy, in support, and unity. Join us to experience household salvation movement and the joy of a peaceful home in Christ.